Amen, amen. Well, you guys can have a seat. We're going to get right into this word. Show me your hands this morning if you're saying, Pastor, I'm an emotional person. Any emotional people? Emotional people, right? How many of you can confess and say, Pastor, I'm an emotional wreck? Emotional wreck. All right, all right. And how many of you say, Pastor, I'm not emotional enough? People say I'm emotionally unavailable. I don't express myself enough, my feelings. How many of you are not in touch with your feelings? That's me. You know, it's okay. I did not expect that of you. I thought you had expressed your feelings a lot. But we're going to talk about being emotionally driven and how to put a stop to it. Now, don't get this wrong. I'm not saying to put an end to your emotions. That's impossible. You're always going to feel something. Right now in this room or listening online right now, you are expressing an emotion. There's an emotion inside you right now. You might say, yeah, it's anger. Yeah, it's tiredness. Yeah, I just feel discouraged. All of us are operating at one time or another at an emotional level. Something, you're going through something, you're feeling something. But here's the thing, I'm not saying stop being emotional. Some of us are just emotional. Some of us are not. But what we are saying is that we need to put a stop to being so emotionally driven. Being emotionally driven will drive you insane. Because your emotions, number one, cannot be trusted. Number two, they're not accurate. You can feel one way, but here's what it means to be emotionally driven. It's when you act upon what you feel. It's what you feel, the input for your decision making. That's what it means to be emotionally driven, saying, if I feel like it, I'm going to do it. If I'm feeling it, then I know it's right. And I know I get scared and I cringe when people come up to me and say, Pastor, I know this is what God wants for me. I'm like, how do you know that? They don't say, oh, because I prayed about it or because it's in the Word. It aligns with God's Word. They said, no, I feel it. I feel that this is the one for me. I feel like this is a job for me. I feel like this is right. And they come back and say, Pastor, I feel so stupid. How did I do that? Why did you let me do that? I'm like, but you said you felt it. See, being emotionally driven means that whatever I feel must be right. Therefore, it's what I have to do. So when you act on what you feel, you are an emotionally driven person. And when you act about what you feel, you're going to make, oftentimes, an emotionally bad decision. Now, you don't know what that is. An emotionally bad choice. Amen? No, the rest of you are liars? All of you are liars? All right, then. There we go. So, I'm not saying stop your emotions. But don't let your emotions be what drive you to make decisions. So you can't always control your emotions, but you can always control your choices. Can I say that one more time? No? All right, all right. You can't control your emotions, but you can control your choices. And if we want to make better choices in our lives, we have to understand that the best choices are not made by our emotions. So get ready. We're going to pray. And as I pray for you, I'm going to ask the Lord to put a stop to you being so emotionally driven. Let's pray. Father, bless this word. So go into it. If people are letting their emotions get the best of them, if they're driven by anger, if they're driven by discouragement, if they're driven by lust, if they're driven by selfishness, Father, we know that our emotions can wreak havoc in our lives. So I just pray, Lord, that you bless this message as we learn about how to manage our emotions. And how to make better decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 31. as I go there. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading today. So really focus here or listen to this, just watch the screen. But Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, an amazing verse. The Bible says, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets. What are those two tablets? Oh yeah, get ready. So he gave him these two tablets. Those aren't pills. He gave him two tablets, the testimony, the Ten Commandments. Ascribed by, this is important, you have to get this. Ascribed by the finger of God. So God literally says, when I gave Moses the two tablets that contained the Ten Commandments, God, I literally wrote them myself with my finger. Let's go to 32 verse 1 through 9. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. He's taking way too long. And Aaron answered them, take off your gold, your earrings of your wives and your sons and your daughters that are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took the earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what he handed them and made it into a cast of shape of a calf. So he made an idol. Think about that. Aaron just got all the jewelry and made an idol. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early, they sacrificed burnt offering and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat, to drink, and got up and indulged in revelry. Pretty messed up things, right? The Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people who you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are all gods of Israel who brought you out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. And God's saying, these are some stubborn people. How many of you have a stiff neck right now? Pretty stubborn people? All right. I'm going to preach to you today. I want to jump over to verse 15. Moses turned and went down to the mountain with the two tablets in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides from front to back. The tablets were the work of God. The tablets were the work of God. So there it says it again. God wrote these tablets. Verse 19. When Moses approached the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. His anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. So Moses just lost it and his emotions. You ever lost it before? Just losing? All right? All right. Chapter 34, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out. Say that with me. Chisel out. All right. It's important you get this. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out. Say it with me one more time. All right, you got it? You guys say, got it? All right, all right. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out the two tablets like the first one, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which, I love what God says, which you broke. Amen? God is funny. He said, hey, let's do this again, because you messed up. You broke it. I want to paint a picture of what's happening here. Because we read the Bible, and we're like, okay. You know, yeah, Moses goes down to the mountain, he gets mad, he breaks the tablets, and you go on to the next chapter. But let me explain to you vividly what really went down here. So Moses is on the mountain. He's on top. He literally is alone with God for days, weeks, Imagine this. You read this and we really don't think about it or care. But Moses is on this mountain. God is talking to him. The Bible says that Moses would literally be glowing from this experience. So have you ever been on that mountaintop experience with God where you're just feeling spiritual, you're feeling holy? You're probably thinking, I've never felt that. Well, that's how messed up you are. But if you're a real Christian, you know what I'm talking about. You're saying, Pastor, I know what that's like to just feel. I feel like that every Sunday. I just feel the presence of God. So Moses is on this mountain. He's praying. He's talking to God. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. God has his finger. I don't even know what this looks like. But God is just saying, here, Moses, thou shalt not have other gods. Thou shalt love their neighbors. And Moses is like, wow, Lord, that's beautiful. As God is just writing the commandments and they're there just having this time together, and then Moses gets ready now to go back down to his people. So as Moses is coming down the mountain, from a distance he hears the music. He's like, what is that? What is that noise? And as he goes on, it gets louder. And when he looks from a distance, everyone is naked, the Bible says. They're dancing crazy. And they're like, yeah, it's a festival. I mean, some of this is like, for older people, this is Woodstock. For my modern generation, this is like the Ultra Music Festival, but like way worse. And everyone's just there, hey, yeah, they're all naked, dancing, going crazy. Hey, everyone, it's Moses, Moses, Moses. And they're all just there. I mean, the Bible says they became corrupt. Moses just finished going from the being on top of the mountain to this amazing church service, you might say, and it's this beautiful experience with God. But then when he gets back home, everything is a mess. Can I tell you, I've been there. Literally, I've been on top of mountains. Once in a while, when I get overwhelmed, I say, I gotta go. And I stay with another family that they used to come to this church, but they live in North Carolina now, and I stay at their house, and I stay on the mountains, and that week, I'm just there with God. There's no phone, there's no television, there's nothing, and I'm just talking to God, and I feel like I'm Moses, man. I'm glowing. And then I come back to Miami, and it's like, hey, Pastor David's back, and all of y'all are corrupt. And I'm like, can you imagine? I come back to Miami and I see Barbara and Jenny and they're naked, hey! And the whole church is, and I'm like, I just left for 1 week. Moses is like, I was gone for just a little bit. What happened? Did I paint the picture now? Too vivid, right? I'm sorry, Barbara. You know, but anyway, so, and then when, no, the Bible says that Moses asked Aaron, how did this happen? And Aaron was like, look, all I know is I got the jewelry, I threw it on the fire, and a cow came out. Literally, that's what the Bible says. This calf just poof appeared. In other words, Aaron's saying, it just happened. You remember those crazy parties back in the day before Jesus that just happened? You invited one person and just turned into this craziness. You're like, I don't remember that. But see, Moses comes down from this mountaintop. And when he comes down and everyone's just corrupt and crazy and they've lost it in sin, Moses just loses it. He gets so angry that he literally grabs the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, and he just smashes it. Doesn't care that he's just been with God. Doesn't care about his testimony. Doesn't care about his example and that their children are watching. He does not care, because how many of you know that when your emotions get the best of you, you just don't care? Amen. So Moses just gets so overwhelmed And when I read that, I said, you know what? I'm sure my church has been there. Like Moses, have you ever allowed your emotions to get the best of you? Have you ever allowed your emotions to just mess up your testimony? Have you ever allowed your emotions to be just lead you to be such a bad example in front of your kids? We've all been there. Don't act like you haven't. The truth is that your emotions are going to get the best of you. Your emotions are going to be so heated sometimes, you're going to forget where you're at, who's watching you. You're going to say what you want, do what you want. You're just going to express it. You're going to let it out. And understand that when Moses did this, some things got broken. And the reason that there are so many broken things in our lives and so many broken relationships and so many broken marriages and just so many broken people is because our emotions are so overwhelmingly controlling us that we're just losing it sometimes. Because we don't know how to manage these emotions when they come. And anger gets the best of you. You ever lost it so much that in your anger, you just said what came out of your mind? And you just said whatever you felt, and you just said it? But the Bible says that words are powerful, and it's no wonder you just said it, but it caused some brokenness in your relationships because they can't forget what you said. But I was angry. So what? You said it. But I was angry. But you said something you shouldn't have. Or in your anger, you just did something that you weren't thinking right. Have you ever just snapped? You just lose it. Why does that happen? Because you're emotionally driven. And your emotions take the front seat of that wheel. It doesn't matter where you're at, who's watching, what the consequences are going to be. You're just going to let it out. Usually, what I find ironic, like Moses, these moments of emotional stress and anger, don't they happen after you've just been with God? No? Uh-huh. Don't they happen when you're trying to get right with God? These moments happen right after you leave this church. You all listen to Frankie Worship, who's amazing, and the pastor, and your people, and the fellowship, and you're glowing. Man, church was awesome. And then you get in the car. Stop it! Stop it! Stop yelling at your sister! I told you one more time! I swear to you one more time! And you just lose it! Or you're going to go out to lunch and the waiter's going to do something you're not going to like and you're going to lose it. Or you go back home and you feel like smashing those commandments, the word of God. I'm just going to smash him like those commandments. And you've just been with God. You just had this amazing experience. Lying like Judah. Yeah. Awesome song. I love this one. You're eating your Cuban bread. Hey, Joe. Hey, Nancy. How are you? Hey, Barbara. You're just enjoying the fellowship. You're going to shake my hand after church. Pastor, that was an amazing word. I needed it. And then one moment that you're vulnerable. It's like you forget what God told you. You forget what you learned. And you're just going to smash that word. And you're going to lose it. Can I get a witness this morning? All right, do we guys lose it? Am I just crazy here? Or am I the only one? I'm like, man, I just finished getting along with God. And I'm strangling this person. I don't do that, but... But it's amazing that it's only after we're spending time with God in prayer and worship and devotion that it's like you come back to reality. and someone says something that crosses the line. Someone does something that bothers you. And like whatever experience you had with God is quickly out the window. That's what I'm talking about when I say you are too emotionally driven. You forget the Word of God. You know what's crazy about this? Moses literally was holding the Word of God. He was holding a verse that said, "Love thy neighbor," as he smashed it. So how many things, how many commandments of God have you broken in your anger? How many commandments of God have you shattered? Because at the moment you were just so heated. Moses teaches me one thing. You can be alone with God all you want. You can read your Bible, you can pray, you can come to church, you can do all of that. When you get back to reality, there are always going to be people that are not going to act the way you want them to. There's always going to be a person you're going to see something wrong with. These people are your family. It's great that you spend time with God and you're glowing with praise and worship. That's awesome. But then you come back home with your family, they're going to mess up. You're going to see some things in your spouse that's going to anger you. Then what? Are you just going to smash the Word of God and forget everything you've learned? These people are your children. They're not going to always act according to what you say. But they're watching on. Isn't it interesting that they mess up, yet they're watching how you're acting? And they'll remember when you lost it. They'll remember every chancleta you hit them with. They're going to remember everything that you did. They're going to know. You're going to spend time with God. You're spending time with God now. I see the smiles, you're glowing. But you got to go to work tomorrow. And I'm sure there's someone at work you don't like. I'm sure your boss is going to take you for granted. You're going to deal with a customer you want to strangle. I understand that. But are you going to just forget the Word of God because they did something or said something that you did not like, and in the heat of the moment, you just want to crush them? These people are your family, they're your spouse, they're your children, they're people that you work with. These people are even strangers. I have to pray when I go to Walmart. I say, "Lord, help me, Jesus, to remember that not only am I a Christian, I am a pastor. And these people might come to church one day and remember me." A lot of pressure. Some of these people, believe me or not, our church people. What? Did you know that 100% of people are not perfect? Did you know that people go to church? Therefore, these imperfect people are in church right now. Next to you, look at them. Look at them. Don't you just want to smash them right now? Look, just your face makes me want to break the tablets on you. Just think about these people around. Look to the back too. Look to the back. Look around you. Stand up. All y'all, stand up right now. Let's stand up. Let's look around. Every one of you that say, "Forward Fellowship is my church. This is my church family. This family will cross the line one day and hurt you." Amen? People are going to hurt you. You're going to see something in people you don't like. Moses forgot that. So as he comes down from his spiritual high and he looks at Aaron and he looks at all the naked sinners, he just loses it with anger. And he forgets his experience with God. And in his moment of anger, Moses, the man of God, the leader of the pack, has a hissy fit. I don't like them. Nah. And everyone's like, well, they're all naked, huh? Ooh, Moses is mad. We're always going to see people, be around people, and be hurt by people. We're a church. And I'm not going to be that church that pretends to have it all together. In fact, I say we're a church that's getting it together. That's my vision for this ministry. Because I can go to any church and pretend I have it all together. But here at Forward, we're saying, no, I'm getting it together. But because I'm not there yet and I'm getting it together, I may hurt you. I may cross the line. And I pray that you can hold on to your emotions. Because it's going to happen. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger. You know what God says? Listen, God didn't say don't get angry. He's not taking that emotion out. You're angry and you're a Christian? It's not what God is saying. God is actually saying, oh, you're gonna be angry. But in your anger, watch what you do. Don't sin. You're angry because, yeah, I'm not saying what that person did was okay and justifiable. I'm not saying that you should just ignore it. No, you're angry right now, like Moses. Someone in your life has crossed the line. You're angry at a family member. You're angry at a church member. You're angry at someone. God's saying, that's okay. You're angry. What are you going to do about it? Because see, you can't always control, like I said, your emotions, but you can control your choices. That's what God is saying here. You can't control right now the fact that you feel angry, but you can't control the choice whether you're going to commit sin or not because of your anger. Got it? So Moses, this is what I find so ironic about Moses, but Moses, in his anger about the people's sin, committed sin himself. Isn't that the story of your life? You're angry about someone else's sin, and in your anger of that sin, you end up sinning. Is that not crazy? Are you out of your mind? Well, I don't like what they did, so I'm going to gossip about it. You just committed sin because of sin. Well, I don't like how they did that. That got me mad. I'm just going to slander them. I don't like what they did in anger. I can't believe they committed that sin. I'm going to tell them off. And like Moses, in your anger about sin, don't commit sin. And that's what we do. Moses got so angry about the sin of the people, he ended up being in sin himself. And who did God call in accountability? Moses. But God, they sinned too. I'll deal with them, but I'm talking to you right now. Moses, you lost it at work on Monday. Moses, you lost it after church. Moses, I love the fact that you are listening to worship music or David's podcast in the car on the way to work. But when that guy cut you off and that little finger went up, Moses, you lost it. When you told that person they were number one. Not cool, Moses. Not cool. But Lord, they were driving just as bad. I'm just being real with you guys. In your anger about sin, don't end up being a sinner. Why did Moses end up sinning in the anger of other people's sin? Because Moses forgot a powerful principle I want to teach you today. Moses forgot that he was at a higher spiritual level than them. Were those people on the mountain with him? Were those people glowing like him, them? Did those people know the commandments that Moses had? And sometimes I think we forget where we came from. And we get mad at other people's sin and forget that you're at a different spiritual level than them. There was a time, Moses, that you committed murder. And I took care of you for 40 years in the desert, developing you to this great leader. And now that you've made it, now that you're a great follower, now that you're a leader, you want to look down on other people? Who am I preaching to this morning that you're saying, do you remember where I got you out of? You're at a different spiritual level. See, as you come to this church and you're going to grow, you're going to learn the Word of God, and you're going to be like so amazing, yes? But then other people are going to come to this church that are not that amazing in their walk with the Lord. Yet. And don't you get a little Moses fit and say, Pastor, I can't believe this person's doing this. What are you going to do about it? Do something! Weren't you in that same mess a few years? That doesn't matter! So I am a leader now. I am mature now. Moses forgot that just a while ago, God had to take care of some sin in your life. So Pastor, what do I do then if I see someone that just is in sin and they're messed up? Do I just ignore it? Do I just forget about it? Do I just tell you? Galatians 6:1 talks about this to a church that was dealing with this. Brothers, meaning Christians, that's you. Brothers, if someone is caught in a what? In a sin. In church? Yeah! If someone is caught in a sin, that someone could be a church member, that someone can be your spouse, that someone can be your child, that someone can be your friend. Who is that someone right now that you see sinning? I love how quiet it is. That means I'm preaching good. If someone is caught in sin, I caught you. I know what you did last summer. I know. I'm watching you. Don't you love to catch people in sin? I do. I do. I can tell you stories. Oh my gosh. I'm not. If someone's caught in sin, you who are spiritual, meaning more mature, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. You mean that I have to help them and be nice about it? Yeah. Gently. Not you should be ashamed. You know better. How long have you been in church? Don't you remember what Pastor David preached on? That's not gentle. Gentle is, hey, I know you're struggling with this. Can I pray for you? Call me if you're struggling with this. I want to help you with this. Let's read together about it. Let's pray together about it. Let's seek counseling together with Pastor David about it. But don't just sit there on your little spiritual high horse and look down on them, Moses. Notice this. Watch yourself. The Bible says, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. It's hard when you catch someone in sin. When you see sin in them. And God says, you're more spiritual than them, right? Help them. Restore them gently. And watch out that you're not tempted to judge them. To put them away. Moses should have come down from that mountain with his 10 commandments, glowing from being with God, with his glorious beard, and he just should have come down and said, guys, come on! Look, this is wrong. Look at what God says. You shouldn't have other gods. And that cow, Aaron, I know it just didn't happen. Come on, guys, let's destroy it together. Let's pray about this. Let's move on from this. And let's get it right next time. That's restoring gently. But Moses, Mr. Almighty Moses, spiritual glowing, better than everyone, Moses said, I don't like that. You guys are wrong. And he got angry. Because he was emotional. And he broke the commandments. He broke it. Why? Because your emotional decisions will cause great brokenness in your life. It will break your life, your family, your marriage, your health, your finance. Everything that you allow your emotions to control will lead to brokenness. Amen? So, Pastor, you're saying I got to be nice? You're saying that I have to just control my emotions by not letting my emotions control me? What do I do then? Every choice you make should be prayed for and aligned with the Word of God, not what you feel. And if you're emotionally driven, and you're saying, this is why I'm breaking so many relationships. This is why my life is broken. This is why my family is broken. Because it might be you're not driven by the Word of God, but what you feel. And this is true in Moses, because Moses was just finished hearing the Word of God. Literally, the 10 commandments were the Word of God. And he showed God, I don't care what your word says, I'm going by what I feel. I am angry, therefore I act on my anger. I don't act on your word. And maybe today you're not acting on the word of God, you're acting on your emotions, and then you're wondering why everything in my life is broken. Can I turn this whole message around? Moses, in his anger, he made an emotional bad decision. Maybe that's you today. That's what makes this message so hard to hear. Because you're looking back at your life, you're looking back at the years and the months of your past, and you're saying, Pastor, where were you X amount of years ago? I wish I had this church back in this time. I wish I would have known this. I didn't have people telling me this. And in my emotions, in that heat of the moment, in my anger, in my passion, in my lust, in my greed, I just acted on what I felt and I broke so many things. I broke so many people. I broke so many families. I broke my friends. I broke my marriage because I acted on what I felt. Rather than acting on the Word of God. And I've left people broken. And I live with this guilt. If that's you today, that's why I have to turn this message around. Because maybe that is you. Saying, Pastor, I know all too well about emotional bad decisions. I want to show you something powerful. If you've made an emotional bad decision in your past, if you're making an emotional bad decision currently right now, it's interesting that when Moses, in his anger, crushed the commandments, And he messed up. Let me close with this point right here, because maybe you're like that. You're saying, Pastor, I feel like that's me right now. That was me this week. That was me last year, last month. That was me. That's me my whole life right now, God. I just feel like my emotions got the best of me. Let me prove to you that you can overcome your emotions. But you have to be honest with me. Has there ever been a time in your life you did not feel like coming to church? Has there ever been a time like today, this morning, you did not feel like coming to church? But you're here. I commend you for that. Because some people, they didn't feel it this morning, they're not here. Why? Because they acted on their emotions. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite if I'm not feeling it. You know what God says? So proud of you. Because I know what you felt. But you chose right. Only proving to you that in the wrong emotions, you can still make the right choices. I love people that tell me, I didn't feel like coming today, but I'm glad I did. Because it shows me you can do this. But if you've messed up and you're saying, Pastor, I've made emotional bad decisions and it's caused so much brokenness. I am Moses. Let me tell you that when Moses messed up, God never said, Moses, I'm done with you. I forgave you for murdering that person. I forgave you for doubting me in the past. I forgave you, but I can't forgive this, Moses. Moses, we just finished talking about this. I just finished literally telling you, love thy neighbor. Moses, I was telling you the Ten Commandments. You were with me for a month, Moses. Come on. Moses, when he broke the commandments, God called him back to the top. Why? Because God is showing someone here today, and he's showing all of us here, that when you've acted wrong on your emotions and you have caused brokenness in your life, you can always come back to God. You can always come back. And let me tell you what God did here, which is outstanding. God called Moses back to rewrite what he broke. Did you know that's what restoration is all about? Is God rewriting where you went wrong? God can rewrite your future. God can rewrite your destiny. God can still bring you back to the top if you've broken some things because of your emotions. God can call you back, but I got to tell you the truth. Because I promised God, I said, Lord, I will never just say it halfway. People look at that, some pastors will stop right there. Hey, God loves you. God wants to bring you back. God can rewrite your wrongs. God can restore you. And the church says, yes, amen, give it to me, Lord, I love that. But God didn't stop there. Because yeah, God can call you back. God can rewrite your wrong. God can restore. But God was showing us through Moses, rebuilding what you have broken because of your choices that you acted on your emotions. Rebuilding that is not going to be easy. Because did you notice the first time God wrote it with his finger? Here you go, Moses. Here's all 10 commandments. Just gave it to him. But Moses got mad and he broke it. And God says, get back up here. And he's like walking the walk of shame. Y'all know the walk of shame? Oh, I messed up, God, again. That's y'all every Sunday. Like, man, I did so good on Sunday. But man, I messed up this week. I'm just coming back to forward. I broke it again. God says, get back up here. But this time, when he gives him the two tablets, he says, Moses, you need to cut it out yourself now. You need to do it. So Moses, for like a month, he's like, thou shall not have. God, are you sure you can't do it? Do it, Moses! Have. You're annoyed, aren't you? Imagine how annoyed Moses was. For a month on that mountain, God, I know you can just give it to me because you gave it to me before. Why do I have to cut it? Thou shalt not. Oh, I spelled it wrong. Have other gods. Oh gosh, I have 9 more to go. Did you ever think about that? You know what God is saying here? I'll call you back anytime. I'll rewrite what you've made wrong. But if you're asking me to rebuild your life, you're going to have to put some work in it. Because the first time I gave it to you, you did not appreciate it. So now that you're working at it, do you think that when Moses was finished, yes, number 10, I'm done. And when he comes back, the same people, he's like, I'm not breaking this. I worked too hard for this. Let me tell you what God was saying to me. You break what you don't appreciate. That's why you have a broken marriage, because you don't appreciate it anymore. That's why you have broken families, because you don't appreciate it. That's why churches are breaking all over Miami, because people don't appreciate it anymore. But when you put in the work and the effort to rebuild your life, the next time around, you're going to get your act together, because you're going to say, I worked too hard to make it this far. So when I was there and I messed up and I broke my marriage, but I went to church every Sunday, I went to a men's ministry group, and I read my Bible, and I prayed and I practiced and practiced and practiced, and now that my marriage is good, when I have a heated moment, I'm not going to break it because I worked too hard to be this awesome husband. I worked too hard to be this great wife. I worked too hard to be this awesome parent. I worked too hard. That's why when you lost your job, maybe it's because you didn't appreciate it, but after so long of unemployment, not being able to pay bills and all of that, when you get your next job, don't you appreciate it so much more? Because you know what it is to have it broken. So if you want to rebuild your life, God says, awesome. God says, I'll call you back. I'll rewrite your wrong. But we got to stop thinking that God is just going to do it. God, fix me. Okay. God, fix my marriage. There you go. Because if God did it because he could, wouldn't appreciate it. You just break it. That's why I love Forward so much. Love it. Why? I ask myself that all the time. Why? Why, Lord? Because every Wednesday night, it's so hard to preach verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Man, 8 years, y'all. 8 years! Verse by verse. And every Wednesday night, there I am. Maria, stop doing that. Barbara, come on. Come on, Jenny, there you go. Come on. And it's hard. You come every Wednesday. Oh, that was hard to listen to. Man, I didn't understand that, but I'm going to come back next Wednesday. And you keep going, why? Because you're rebuilding what you've broken. And you come back on Sundays, and Sundays you're here. You could be at the beach right now. You could be in the movies right now. You could have slept in, but you're chiseling it. Why? Because you're saying, I'm rebuilding this life I broke. Because I have a greater appreciation for the grace and mercy of God. God's grace is not an instant excuse just to go break it again. When God restores you, when God forgives you, oh, I feel like preaching. When God says, I'm bringing you back, you're going to have to put some work in it. You're going to have to work. And when you finish working it, see if you're going to go and break it again. Because some of you, this is what I love, you're saying, oh, some of you are walking straight now. Some of you are like, oh, I'm not messing up this time. Why? You don't know what I went through to restore this. So stop saying, God, can't you just do it? Can't you just fix it? Can't you fix me? Can't you just put it all together? You ever prayed those prayers, Lord? Rebuild, restore, revive. And God says, no, chisel, do it yourself. I'll be there with you. I'll guide you along the way. I'll help you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But you got to put in the work so that when you get back down from this mountain, Moses, and those people mess up, which they did, next time around, Moses, we're hungry. Moses, we're tired of bread. We want meat. Moses never broke the Ten Commandments again. He got mad. He literally prayed, Lord, do me a favor, kill me. Kill me, Lord, please. Take me, these people, I can't. But you know the discipline that Moses had? Gosh, I'm so mad right now, but I'm not about to break it because I worked too hard. Because if Moses would have broke it a second time, he would have said, Moses, get back up here. Do it again. Oh, gosh. So God's going to keep calling you back until you learn to appreciate Him. When you appreciate God, you sin less. When you appreciate His mercy, you walk straighter. The reason that things around you are breaking is because whatever is broken in your life is something you did not appreciate because God just gave it to you. Can I pray for you now? Can we all stand? When I say all of us stand, why do I say that? Because all of us need this word today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're saying, Pastor, I don't know what the Holy Spirit just did here. I don't know what He said to you. But maybe you're asking God, can I come back? The answer is yes. God says, not only can I call you back, I can bring you back to the top again. But are you willing to be patient? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to sweat? And are you willing to put in the effort to chisel out your restoration? I'm not just going to do it. I'm not just going to give it to you. Because if I did, because I can, you're just going to not appreciate it as much and you're going to break it. But if I put you through the trial, if I put you through the work, if I put you through the tears and the discipline and the hard work and the effort, I know that when you finish, you're going to appreciate it. And that's an area in your life that will never be broken again. So God can bring you back. God can rebuild. God says, I'm going to have to put you through the work. If your life is broken, if your marriage is broken, if your family is broken, you got to tell God right now, Lord, I want to rebuild that. And whatever it takes, I will do. However long it takes, I will wait. And I will do what you tell me to do. And I will put in the work. Because Lord, when I am finished, I know that I will never break that again. I would appreciate it now the second time. If that's your prayer today, you're just simply saying to God, I need you to rebuild something for me, God. Just show me your hand, saying, Lord, I just need you to rebuild this. Rebuild it. Whatever you're asking the Lord to rebuild, the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you right now, He's not going to do it instantly. He's not going to just give it to you. Are you ready for that? Are you coming out of this church saying, I'm willing to put in the effort, I'm willing to put in the work that it takes to rebuild my family, to rebuild my marriage, to rebuild my finances? Whatever you tell me to do, the Lord is with you, empowering you. He is guiding you. But you have to grab that chisel, you got to grab that hammer, and you got to get to work and cut some stones, meaning cut that flesh of yours. It's going to take time, it's going to take work, but in the end, you're going to look back, and that will be one area that never breaks again. we got to start appreciating now the grace and the mercy of God. Because how many things that God just gave you, but because you lacked appreciation, you just threw it away. And now you're asking God for it back. He can give it back to you, but He says it's going to take work. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm just emotionally driven and I've acted wrong and I want to act on the Word of God, I'm going to pray for you now. Moses was called back to God. And there's someone here today, or you're listening online, Lord sees you right now. And for some reason, the Lord is calling you back because you went away. And maybe you missed those times with God. The Lord is calling you right now. If that's you, I want you to pray this with me. I'm going to pray two prayers today. The first one is for anyone here that says, or anyone listening online that says, things are broken in my life and I want to do it right. I've acted foolishly. I've acted arrogantly. I've broken what I have not appreciated. But I want to rebuild it, Lord. But I need to rebuild it with You. And I'm asking You to give Your life finally to Jesus Christ once and for all. He loves You. Those heated moments where you made a wrong decision out of passion, out of greed, He still loved you then. He loves you now. But He's calling you. And I want to lead you in this prayer. If you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I just want you to pray with me as you lift your hand up and pray this with me. And if you're listening online, I want you to pray this with me as well, wherever you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, today, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. And I surrender my life to You. Jesus, I know You died on the cross for my sins. I know You rose again. And that You are the only way to the Father. And with that said, I put all my faith and all my trust in You. In Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I need to be rebuilt. I've broken what I've not appreciated. But I want to be rebuilt. I want to get back on top with God. I've judged people. And in people's sin, I have sinned. I forgot where You have taken me from. I messed up. You've made some bad choices. You've broken a few things. But today, the word is, you can come back to God. He can rebuild your life. But you're going to have to put in some work. If that's you today, you're saying, Pastor, as an acknowledgement that I'm going to put the work in any area of my life that's broken, show me your hand. It's a bold prayer. God bless you, all of you here. Father, as a church, in Jesus' name, I thank You, Lord, for this service. Lord, as we dismiss, we're here today because we need You. Some of us didn't feel like being here, but we're here anyway because we made the choice. And Father, for anyone here who has broken what they have not appreciated and in the heat of the moment have made some bad decisions, I pray, God, not only that You would restore them and rebuild them, but that that person, whoever you are, comes back to You, Lord, and puts in the work and makes the effort and the discipline and sweat and the tears to rebuild what they have broken so that they will never break it again. And thank You, Lord, for understanding and loving us and always calling us back and rewriting our wrong. Let us always appreciate You and Your grace and Your mercy, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let us be better leaders, better examples to those who are watching us and how we treat others. In Jesus' name, give them a shout of praise today if you were blessed today. Come on. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that word.